This week on Two Noobs, Apple is now in trouble with the DOJ for illegally monopolizing the phone market, and I can't contain my smug happiness over this. Next, another NHL enforcer dies too young. We'll discuss the trend and the reactions. Are we doing enough? Then, the 2024 Philly season is upon us, so we're going into our fearless prediction of how many games they'll finish behind the Braves. Finally, sports trivia. Matt seeks revenge for last week, but will he get it? Start the music. With that, we welcome you to episode 182 of Two Noobs Talking on this just wet and cold recording day here in the Northeast. John, it's probably 80 and sunny down there, isn't it?
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
You bastard.
Hey.
Yes, I spent much
not going to say I was right, but
I spent much of midday pumping water out the basement window. So
ooh, that sounds fun. Like was, a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. Well, it was once I set it up, it actually went kind of smoothly. Usually I was smart this time and I thought ahead. I'm like, I'm going to get ahead of the weather, get the pump primed,
ready to go.
Get the plug inside ready to go, so when I can hit it, I can hit it. Because usually what happens is the water is about an inch away from hitting the crease in the window where it'll start to come in.
Oh, gosh.
And I start panicking, and I got to run outside and prime everything, and I'm panicking. And
yeah.
It's a nightmare. But this time I managed to stay ahead of it, be smart.
Fantastic.
And I'll introduce the players before we talk a little bit more about being smart. So over this... Yes, I'm getting this now.
This is
Justice League John Tracy. This is Marvel Matt Craig on the other side. I am the middle. I'm SpongeBob Steve Murray. So I represent Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy as your superheroes.
Awesome.
There you go.
There you go.
Facing off against the dirty bubble. But gentlemen, last week we had some brain teasers and I was going back over that. And
oh, my.
Yeah, that was a little tough. So I think we're going to implement this for you guys.
Nice.
We're going to go a little Gaius Greaves. We're going to help you guys with your brains, make them good.
That's
awesome.
Make
your brain good.
Make brain good.
It makes my brain good.
So I can run for president?
You could run for president now, John.
He probably would get a lot more votes than Joe Biden would. Yeah.
I would vote for him over Joe Biden. Absolutely.
I do have a public service announcement for the president of the United States. I just want to clear something up for him just in case he's a little confused. He was quoted in saying that if he loses the election, he's going to get deported. I would like to let him know that there are laws in place since he was birthed here and he's president. There's no chance of deportation. Like, you're fine. Like,
wait a minute,
you're good.
He was birthed here? Really? I didn't
know
that.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
We don't know what mammal birthed him, but he was definitely birthed here.
You know, it's that damn law that prevents Arnold from running for president. So
yes. I just, you know. Just want to make sure he's...
You almost had me do a spit take live on air, Johnny. I want you to... Thank you very much.
Technically, it's not
a lot. Yes. I did a spit take when he said it on the radio.
Exactly.
As much as we would love to deport Joe Biden.
I'm all for it, but I just, like, I mean, calm down, bro. You're not going anywhere. Yeah. Unfortunate.
I mean, it would be kind of like in Johnny Dangerously when that Italian mobster gets deported to Sweden and claims he's not from there. It's just, I don't know where Joe Biden would go. We could send him to
Iceland. Let's send him to Iceland.
Yeah.
I think that would be a nice place
for him. Sure, China's got a chair or two for him.
That too. Yeah. That too. Yep. So,
all right, well, why don't we hit the W Energy fun fact? So visit W.GG or hit them up on the app. Enter our promo code Two Noobs Talking. That's TOONOOBS Talking. You get 10% off your order. W has partnered with Aniba. I don't know. They're a gaming company. So it's going to piss that off.
There you go.
And so the two have brought us Aniba Elixir with the flavor of sour gummy bears.
Nice.
That actually sounds pretty good.
Yes.
It's a limited edition run, though. Limited edition. So get it while it's there. Use our promo code to get $4 off a $40 tub. Don't say we never did nothing for you.
Bam.
All right, Johnny, hit us with the fun fact, if you would, please.
Okay. We have today more than half of all apples grown in the United States for fresh eating.
Yes.
Come from an orchard in Washington State.
Hmm.
There you go.
More than half. Interesting.
Yeah.
So
what type?
No forest fires in Washington State at all.
All the ones that are freshly eaten. I knew nothing of apples. They genetically modify like 9,000 of them. There's a new name every day at the grocery store. So I have no idea.
I eat Granny Smith's only.
Oh, there you go.
First off, because they are phenomenal. They have a tart flavor, but they're also most consistently crisp. And I find a lot of the red apples, it's really hit or miss, whether you got a cruncher, if you're biting into mush.
Red delicious only are very good like around September and October, and maybe into November. Outside of that, it's a miss. I've tried with red delicious, and when you take that bite, you're thinking like, wow, this is a really good apple, and you bite into it, and it's mush, and it's like, what the heck is that? Toss this out. I don't need this anymore.
Yeah, that's why I just don't eat apples.
Yeah.
The other thing I like about the Granny Smiths is they take a lot longer to brown.
Yeah.
So when you bite into them, they last longer. You know, some of the red apples, you take a bite, and by the time you're done chewing, the flesh has now turned brown. And it's like, you don't really want to eat that anymore. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully the Granny Smiths are coming from Washington, but...
I would assume they are.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so. More than half, I would say, it's probably.
Yeah.
Granny Smith's pretty popular.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Now, like a mushy red apple, we're going to turn to our over 40 rant. And this is a collective over 40 rant, so I don't know who we want to have go first here.
Well, I mean, I could go first. Yeah.
All right, Matt, go.
This is probably the dumbest thing I think I've ever seen in my life. And naturally comes from the New York Mets organization.
Yay.
MLB tweeted this out, gents. The Mets will have a rainbow cookie egg roll.
Oh.
You heard that right. Rainbow cookie egg roll as a new food item at Citi Field this season. And they have the eye emojis where they're kind of looking at it like this, like, what the hell is this? It contains rainbow cookie, raspberry jam, and chocolate syrup rolled in an egg roll wrapper. And here's a picture to horrify everybody.
So you had me right up till the egg roll wrapper.
Yeah.
Like,
why are we wrapping it in an egg roll?
What the hell is going on up there? I mean, I understand the Mets are going through a rebuild. I get it. You know, it's like they've but what the hell are you doing? Mixing a delicacy with a rainbow cookie? Like, what is going on there? Are you out of your damn minds?
I know fusion is a thing, and I really don't like it because there are certain things that should not be.
Yes.
There's certain things that should not go together, and a cookie with syrup, chocolate syrup on it, should not be with an egg roll. That's just
with raspberry jam. That doesn't work. I'm sorry. That automatically, it's like, oh my god, no. Get this out of here.
As you said in the text message, Mets going to Met.
Mets are going to Met.
We'll probably get into that a little bit later as topic three.
Now,
just another reason to hate them.
We got a two. Yeah, exactly. Yep, we got a two for this week. John, why don't you lead us on the second half of the over 40 rant?
All right.
We just couldn't let the Mets get away with it. Here's the real over 40 rant.
Well, because this is what'll happen. This is what'll happen. I'll load up Instagram and I'll find out that the Mets signed Bobby Bonilla. this social media ridiculousness of just trying to connect with people and you can't anymore. This is why I do not go on social media unless I'm sending a cat picture to my wife. That is it at this point. Because
I like cat pictures too.
I'll send them to you. I'll start sending them to you too.
I wouldn't mind them either. Just saying.
I can't.
I prefer tigers, but you know, cats are good.
We love to send articles throughout the week, and one way we do it is I use Twitter, Instagram, just to kind of see what people are talking about and then go source an article and send it. Now I can't do that anymore. Now it's like back to 1980s journalism, because if you find something online, I now need to give it to my team to crack it down, find out when it was written. Is it even in this century? They don't put dates on things anymore.
Yeah.
John, yeah. Sorry, they did land a man on the moon, but that was 50 some years ago.
I won't find out that until later this year. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm with you, Johnny.
How do you dumb down society? You don't let them think for themselves. And that's exactly what they're doing.
It's either that or you intentionally hide the date when the article was published.
Yep.
In a byline that you have to look with like two font. You know, it's like this tiny.
Ridiculous.
Oh, wait a minute. That's 2021. Can't use that. You know, it's like you can't use some of these articles because of the timeline. So
it's totally some bullshit. With you, bud.
Yeah. I have the same problems you guys have. I get like on Twitter, you know, so we'll say last night, Friday night, Flyers play Thursday night. I'm sitting there Friday night, just scrolling Twitter, see what's going on. And I refresh it, right? So it refreshes. I'm back to the very top of the feed.
You would think you'd get new stuff.
I think you'd get brand new stuff. Here we got Charlie O'Connor. Flyers played really well in that first period. I'm like,
what first period when?
Now I'm like, all right, I'm Comcast Sportsnet. The game's not on there. Is it on ESPN, TNT?
No.
Nope. Oh, the Flyers don't play tonight. What the hell?
Live reaction.
Right, exactly.
Is this how LeBron second got spectate. Anointed great? They just made it up on Twitter and we weren't paying attention. They were like, oh, LeBron went for 50. He didn't play.
I can't count the number of times that one of us has sent around an article.
Oh.
You know, in advance of a show.
Yeah.
And somebody writes back, you know, 10 minutes later, this came out in 2021.
Yeah. So frustrating.
Would have loved it.
And you're like, damn it.
Yeah, they would have been great stories to talk about, but now they're 3 years old. So it's like, how about this, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all you social media sites? How about you give us the posts in date and chronological order?
Oh, please.
If that would make sense.
Oh, please.
And they can't say they can't because they used to do it.
Yeah, I know.
Because you could follow newspapers and you would get news. The way it was set up back in the day, you could set your Instagram or your Facebook up or your Twitter to be literally like the scrolling line on the TV. You could set, and now not anymore because apparently we just invaded Iraq.
Johnny, I'm just saying, from 1991, right?
I mean, exactly. That's probably
Two things that contribute to it real quick. One, status updates every single time Facebook has to update itself. That screws up the chronological order. I mean, that, if I, crying out loud. And then the second one, I'm trying to remember. Well, never mind. Moving on.
Let's see. We need to give Matt those thingies to put in his face to make his brain good.
Please, quickly.
He's losing his mind.
I'm losing my mind over here.
Loses his mind. All right. Well, he's about to lose his mind even further because getting into topic one.
Oh, God.
Well. And one of us here is an Apple devotee. Not going to say who.
I'm not going to say who.
Not I. Well, Apple we'll can't say, do this.
We'll shut up with your flip phones, John.
We'll say his name is M. Craig. No, wait. That's too easy. We'll go Matt C.
No, that still won't. Oh, boy.
The dude sitting over there. That's why we banish him over there. Because
nope. Yes.
Yeah, over there, right? All the way
fatang,
over there.
Fatang, fatang. All right, enough of that. So, the Justice Department, gentlemen, last Thursday announced a sweeping antitrust lawsuit against said Apple. And the fun fact, is that why the fun fact was Apple's, John?
Yeah. Come on, Washington Apple? Come on.
Wow.
This show writes itself sometimes.
Oh, my amazing. God.
Yeah.
We don't even need pre-production. We all, you know, come up with our own.
Just banish me to the night shift. I'll work it out.
Yeah, I was just going to say, John gets moved to the night shift, and we got a great transition. So there you go. Wow.
All right. Well, Anyway, the Justice Department has accused Apple of engineering an illegal monopoly in this country.
Yes. Oh boy.
In smartphones that boxes out competitors, stifles innovation, and keeps prices artificially high. Matt, you paid, what, $3,200 for that iPhone?
Yeah, probably like 10 years ago, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's $16,294.
Yeah, yeah.
And right, that's only for the screen replacement.
Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco said Apple has locked its consumers into the iPhone while locking its competitors out of the market. The suit takes aim at how Apple allegedly molds its technology and business relationships to, quote, extract more money from consumers, developers, content creators, artists, publishers, small business, merchants, and a partridge in a pear tree. That includes diminishing the functionality of non-Apple smartwatches, limiting access to contactless payment for third-party digital wallets. I see Matt nodding his head.
Yeah.
And refusing to allow its iMessage app to exchange encrypted messaging with competing platforms. It specifically seeks to stop Apple from undermining technologies that compete with its own apps in areas including streaming, messaging, and digital payments, and prevent it from continuing to craft contracts with developers, accessory makers, and consumers that let it obtain, maintain, extend, or entrench a monopoly. All right, Matt, you were shaking your head, and you're an Apple guy. You actually weren't devastated by this news, so I'm going to go to you first on it.
I'm really not surprised, to be perfectly honest. I think they've always had and have always striven to be a monopoly in whenever it comes to technology. And I think they have gone away from Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs was a genius CEO who wanted to make the technology more accessible to people. Nowadays, when you go on to get the new Apple product, it is over $1,000, depending on whatever product it may be, minimum, let's just say, on a minimum side of things. So how is that like going to make it like easily accessible for people unless they put it on payment plans for a year, for 2 years? It's ridiculous. And I'm not surprised by this. I'm really not. I'm not shocked by this at all. I think they have lost the idea of what made them terrific in the first place. They were easy to work with initially, in terms of whenever you would get a product. It was very intuitive. Then they started messing things around. And part of it was, too, like, let's just face it, guys, Samsung and Android. John demonstrated just about a few minutes ago where you're able to flip the phones. The flip phones are starting to come back, but you're able to take a screen like that and flip it in half. There is no way that Apple would ever even remotely go near that. And so they're trying to, I think, with this antitrust lawsuit, there's no question, they're trying to box that out of the market. That instead of innovating, they're trying to say, well, no, our technology is better. Our technology has been better. And it's been this way for the last 5-6 years, really, ever since Tim Cook took over as CEO.
I mean, Matt, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't at least one of the more recent iPhone iterations, the only change was like, oh, we put a better camera in it.
Pretty yep. much.
Yep. And well, it wasn't,
that's all you're buying
and
now,
it wasn't
Steve, to be
better.
Honest. Yeah, and that's all you're buying now with these with the cell phone. Well, when it comes to an Apple phone, it's why I have held on. Like I have the 12, I have the iPhone 12.
How long ago is that?
That is years. Well, we're now at the iPhone 15, so that's three generations behind, which is really more like 4 years in effect.
About that, yeah.
But it's to a point. My parents have like iPhones, but they're not. I mean, they're like in the iPhone 8 or 10. I mean, they're way back, and it's like they don't even talk about that. The biggest thing that they push is let's get this out into the market, and instead of actually making it more affordable for people to buy, they are pushing the next best camera or the next best motion detection, you know, that kind of thing in their camera, so you don't get that blurred still shot or anything like that. We have night vision, and it's like, who takes photos at night? I mean, honestly, I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, that's just the old man there. But I mean,
what's the phone quality like? Like if you have a conversation with somebody on the phone, is it tinny still or do they at least improve that?
It definitely goes down after probably about year three. And I think that's only because of the battery life.
Yeah.
The battery life just only holds for so long. And it's like, I'm even starting to notice it now. It's whenever you update to the latest iOS version.
Oh, yeah.
Chugs that battery life down roll the way down through the day.
Oh, yeah.
When I first got it, it was like literally just like humming along at 100%, maybe dipped to like maybe 80. And then you would charge it up again and be up to 100, you know, that kind of a deal. And I mean, that happens throughout any technology, but it happens more so now when you have more and more updates happening. It's like, it just sucks the life out of the battery. And the next thing you know, it's like, it's spending more time being charged during the day than it is actually on your person and talking to someone.
Yeah. I'm Apple just reminds me of, there's a line in the movie Tron Legacy where NCOM is the big corporation. They're sitting around getting ready to release NCOM 10, which is a new OS. And the one dude from the original Tron is like, given the prices we charge to schools, students, what sort of improvements have been made to NCOM 10? He's like, this year we have a 10 on the box.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
All right, John, you're a hater of big business. Go off.
Voiced. Oh. I'll start really quickly with my wife and I upgraded phones about a year ago, less than a year ago. And she stuck with, we both had the 10, the Apple 10, which great phone, had it for 4 years. It was amazing. It was still amazing when I traded it in. It was still going strong. It was one of the best phones I think I've ever had. I went to a Galaxy. She went to a 14, the Apple 14. She hates it. It's like the worst phone she's ever had. Like she just hates everything about it. And it's the latest and greatest. It is not even close to being the 10 in any, it is an imposter.
There you go.
She's not going to get an Apple phone ever again. Like, they're going to lose people because all we need it for is scrolling and taking pictures, and you can't even get that right. And they've monopolized it to the point of the lawsuit so much that the phones can't make an Apple knockoff that would fix those problems.
Right.
So if you like the iOS, you're stuck with Apple.
Yeah. And well, I do. I have to confess, I do like it. It is a very, like I said, it's a very
decent iOS. Yeah.
Simple, yeah, and very easy to manipulate and whatever. But it is sometimes it's a pain in the ass when you're trying to change things. I'll give you an example. I had an update where, like, there's a focus mode, so it's like you put it on do not disturb. And well, evidently, I must have done something in terms of the wallpaper of
my
phone that it kept defaulting to the focus. And I was like, I don't want this. Like, what the hell is going on? And I finally had to figure it out throughout all of this manipulation and crap to be able to fix it. And it's like, I don't understand. Like, what is going on here? Normally, too, back in the day, they would have a button that you could just press on the phone and it would take you right to the home screen. It would all the time. It would just press it, boom, right back to the home screen. You could just go from there. Here now, you're this is all I'm doing is swiping up. Swipe up, swipe up, swipe up, swipe up to just get back to the home screen. It's ridiculous. It's like it's so counterintuitive, you know, and I'm kind of glad that Biden's corrupt DOJ is going after Apple here. And, you know,
all right, well, we have Apple's retort.
Please nasally voice.
At Apple, we innovate every day to make technology people love, designing products that work seamlessly together, protect people's privacy and security, and create a magical experience for our users.
Yes, exactly.
The company said in a statement, this lawsuit threatens who we are and the principles that set Apple products apart in fiercely competitive markets. Apple has defended the walled garden as an indispensable feature prized by consumers who want the best protection available for their personal information. It has described the barrier as a way for the iPhone to distinguish itself from devices running on Google's Android software, which isn't as restrictive and is licensed to a wide range of manufacturers.
Is that before or after iOS 17.0.3 update, which I got today on my phone? Thank you.
Oh, don't worry. 0.4 is coming out in 11 minutes.
Well, yeah, right. According to Consumer Reports senior researcher Sumit Sharma, Apple claims to be a champion of protecting user data, but its App Store fee structure and partnership with Google Search erode privacy.
100%.
Critics of Apple's alleged anti-competitive practices have long complained its claim to prioritize user privacy is hypocritical when profits are at stake. While its iMessage service is sheathed from prying eyes by end-to-end encryption, that protection evaporates the moment someone texts a non-Apple device. And I, as an Android user, can testify that communicating with people with iPhones is, for some reason, and I guess Apple intends it that way, more difficult than communicating with people who don't have Apple iPhones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know, Matt, we talked about in pre-production, Apple's also being criticized on the third-party pay services. It routes everything through Apple Wallet, and you had a complaint on that.
Yeah, pretty much. Again, very difficult to manipulate to get to the card that you wanted to buy in order to set it up. And even then, I can remember when I first set it up, it was like, do I really trust this organization?
Oh.
Right? Like, I'm just the hesitation in my thought, because you hear about it all the time about, oh, we take your data security and privacy very seriously. This 15-year-old
took your bank account.
But it's like
credit card numbers are flowing out the back door.
Exactly. The momentary hesitation. Any sort of hesitation is not good when it comes to this type of stuff. And it's like, okay, I'm kinda hoping that this works. And so far it has. I haven't had any issues or anything of that sort, but
let me ask you a question.
Gonna knock on wood here real quick.
Let me ask you a question. When you pay with Apple Pay, does it charge you a fee?
It does not. It does not.
Oh, okay.
To my knowledge, does not pay me a fee. The only fee that probably would is if you put it on an Apple card. So if you have like an Apple card account, that's like a regular credit card that if you get charged, you basically put it on there, there probably would be a fee and there probably would be outrageous APR percentage. As you guys know, it'd be just absurd.
I only ask because it would make 20%. Sense if they wanted to have you use Apple Pay every time because they could get the fee out of you as a result. But
All
right, John, hypocrites. I know you love hypocrites. I'm gonna give you the last word here on what you think of this DOJ suit against Apple and whether they're actually protecting your privacy. Having been on both sides of the wall, you were the only one of the three of us who could see that.
That's right.
I didn't leave Apple because I was afraid of Apple. I left Apple because they consistently got bad at their job. The phones just got worse. And I'm not even a big fan of this one. I mean, I'm still kind of searching, so I'm not going to say like, oh, Android figured out. But they at least have some technology out there that, like, the granddaddy to this one is the Fold, where you have a tablet and a cell phone in the same thing. That's cool, because then I don't need two devices. There are a lot better phones out there, so I think this lawsuit actually comes at a very bad time for Apple. They're going to lose so much money because nobody wants to be involved in this. They don't want, especially this DOJ. This has a bad look on it. So
yeah,
people will run. Rightfully so. Apple does not take you as seriously as Samsung. Not saying that Samsung takes anybody seriously, but Samsung is putting products out now, and Google is putting products out now that if they can get some of this technology, people won't need an iPhone. And that's kind of the crux of the whole thing is they need to open up and give away not their trade secrets, but their basic holdings that they have. Because I think they have
need to be compatible.
They have certain access to certain chips and stuff that other phones don't have.
Right.
And then you can't. If Nike did that, Michael Jordan would have never had a shoe.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, if they didn't allow Reebok to come into the market.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just reminded myself of the old years ago as Samsung phones started trending bigger and Apple made fun of it. It's like, oh, why would people want bigger phones? And then, like, the next generation, like, oh, look, our Apple phone is now bigger.
But the size of a boy, you know.
way to be, Apple used to be ahead of the curve. I think they've fallen a little bit behind.
A little bit, yeah.
John, for your benefit,
yes.
It seems that Truman actually defeated Dewey
nice.
In the election.
Okay. God. Dewey, man.
It's just breaking news on Instagram, just so you know.
What a crackpot. His ideas will never flop.
I mean, when are we going to get into the 1950s? I mean,
seriously, right? Jeez.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we're going to bring the tone down a little bit here. Second article. Unfortunately, former NHLer Chris Simon, who was actually drafted by the Philadelphia Flyers back in 1990,
yes,
I want to say.
Correct.
I believe so, yes.
Died last week at the age of 52 from an apparent suicide confirmed by his family. Simon spent 782 games with 7 NHL teams across 15 seasons. Simon's loved ones believe chronic traumatic encephalopathy, if I pronounced that correctly, or I'll just say CTE. That's the long form. Played a significant factor in his suicide. The family strongly believes and witnessed firsthand that Chris struggled immensely from CTE, which unfortunately resulted in his death. A statement from the family read, "We are grieving. Overdose are common among athletes in CTE cases. The NHL has repeatedly downplayed any links between hockey and CTE." A study of former NHLers published last year showed enforcers lived significantly shorter lives than their peers. Researchers at New York's Columbia University came to that conclusion after analyzing data from more than 6,000 players from 1967 through spring of 2022. The study found enforcers died on average a decade younger than comparable peers drafted at the same rank, similar height and weight, and at the same position. Being an enforcer was associated with dying approximately 10 years earlier and more frequently of suicide and drug overdose than matched controls, the study read. Simon is the latest former NHL tough guy to die at a young age, joining the likes of Bob Probert, Derek Bogard, Wade Bielak, and Rick Rippon. Probert and Bogard were both confirmed to have CTE following their deaths. And before we get into this, commenting last week, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman said Simon's death was tragic, but refrained from directly addressing the family's charge it linked to CTE. We extend our deepest condolences to his family and friends. On all these matters, we wait to see what the medical experts tell us. Having said that, I think it's well documented all the progress that we've made over the last couple of decades to make the game as safe as possible. John was our enforcer back in the day.
He was. So,
fighting was not allowed.
Not allowed, but
in roller hockey.
Nor
will I fight.
John's a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah. Unless you go into a corner with him.
Yeah, exactly. sorry, not sorry.
There you go.
You know, we can take this to the whole, is there still a place for fighting in the NHL? Matt and I had a brief conversation about this in pre-production. We both think there still is, but not the kind of the staged enforcer role kind of fights anymore. What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you said that, because that's kind of the way I was leaning. This shouldn't be a full sweep. I think Bettman's right that we should look at some of the good. He didn't do all the good things, but he did some good things over the time. As us growing up, and the helmets changed in just a 10-year span.
Dramatically.
Go to your local sporting goods store and grab a hockey helmet now and feel it. And all you need to do is Google a picture of one from the 80s. You don't need to feel it. You can see it.
Oh, my God.
Wayne Gretzky wore a piece of tape on his head.
I think at one point when we were playing, gents, I remember there were like, if it was all foam, solid.
Nothing.
Foam padding.
Yeah.
No give.
Nothing.
And when that glue went away, oh my.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
So, I don't want to sit here and you know, blame the NHL and all. It was a different time. But CTE does need to be talked about because.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is the fourth enforcer of that time frame.
Yeah.
Of that.
At least.
Exactly. Don't know. I've seen a couple dudes on TV that were enforcers during that time, and they don't look like they have all their faculties quite. Keith Jones being one of them. Keith Jones, you can tell Keith Jones played in the NHL. Not saying that he's, you know, showing signs of, but you could see the wear and tear on him.
Oh, yeah.
You could definitely see the former players from those eras. You can see that they took a beating. That was a time where hitting was constant. It's not what the NHL is now. You didn't move without getting hit.
I would just push back a little bit, John, on what you just said, because the reason why is the stretch pass. I think I remember Steve and I were at a hockey game, Flyers, I think it was Capitals, and there was a stretch play, and it was basically like they're dumping it behind the center line. So it's like you're going in. And there was a race to the corner of that puck, and they're going full speed. And Steve, if you remember this, and they collided into the corner boards. And I just remember just kind of sitting there, and I think we both kind of went like, gosh, I'm not so sure that was really the best thing to really do to introduce this two-line pass negation. You know what I mean? Like, just get rid of it. So that way it's like, even if you pass it from behind your own blue line and into somebody's opposing corner, you have to race to get to it. Now, they did eliminate a little bit of that with the automatic icing, you know, from the, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's the faceoff dots at the defensive circles.
Yes, yes.
Towards the end.
Whoever gets there first, it's.
It's an automatic. It didn't used to be that way. Back in the 80s, it was like you had to race to get to that puck.
You had to touch it. Yep.
And you had to touch it. Behind the goal line, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, I worry about that, and I worry about the collisions in that regard. But yeah, I'm starting now to, even thinking back now, I'm starting to even think, do we really need to even have fighting in the NHL? And I know, like, some old school people would be like, yeah, you got to have it. It's a part of the game. But if that's all you've got for an argument, that doesn't really buy anymore, for me, at least.
Right.
To say that it's a part of the game, part of the culture. Well, yeah, okay, yeah.
My feeling on it is, I think it's important as far as if it happens in the flow of the game.
Yes.
It's you need it for protection against these kind of big hits. And if somebody throws a big hit, you know, you could have a fight as just because that's how it went. Those are going to be fewer and far between each other. Whereas the guys we're talking about, the prototypical enforcers from back in like our day and before.
It was different.
they would line up at a face-off and just like, hey, you want to fight? And like, yeah, let's fight. And so, and I don't remember, it does say, or no, it wasn't Chris Simon.
It's Bogard, right? You were talking about pre-production.
No, there's somebody in here who was quoted, Chris Nealon, who I've never heard of, but he had 300 fights in the league.
That's insane.
No wonder these guys have a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
for his career.
Yeah. That's insane. If fighting is just limited to, you know, there's just the ebbs and flows of the game, and it just happens kind of spontaneously. You are not going to have 300 fights a year.
No, you might have two a season if you really think about it.
Right?
Yeah, I was just
because
say,
how many liberties is someone going to take against you if let's just say the Flyers are playing and you got pick a player on the Flyers, he's, you know, dumping the puck into the zone and they're making a line change and a dude throws an elbow at him, right, and knocks him down. Guy comes over, roughs him up, they throw a little fight. How many times does that happen in a season? What, three times? And it might not be the same guy that fought. You know what I mean?
That's the other thing.
It's not going to be a different guy. So it's
going to be different guys who don't do this regularly. So the fight's not going to last forever. You're probably not going to land a bunch of blows before you end up on your keister.
Yep.
So I, from that perspective, I think you need that just as part of the game. But the staged fighting from yesteryear, the stuff that Chris Simon would be involved in, the stuff Bob Probert would be involved in.
No.
I think as we've, you can't go back and judge people by today's standard. We didn't know back then what we know now.
No clue. We had no idea.
But what we know now, it shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
And I was telling Matt in pre-production, I read a book about Derek Bogard, who was known as the Boogeyman when he played in the NHL. What happened to him was to me, absolutely abhorrent.
Yeah. Unconscionable.
He moved up in youth hockey for no other reason other than he was big and he could beat people.
Yeah.
There was very little hockey skill. And because of it, his role was to fight and hit people constantly. And so what happened? He developed CTE. And the other thing which kind of gets ignored, gets lost in the whole CTE thing is a lot of these guys are also on painkillers.
Yeah.
Like the serious oxycodone stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
As a result of this, because they get hurt a lot. Their hands, they're breaking fingers, they're breaking hands, they're throwing these hits, they're hurting themselves. They're taking a lot of painkillers. They're getting addiction. So not only do you have the CTE, but you have the addiction thrown in there too.
Yeah.
That's a terrible combination.
Oh yeah.
And absolutely explains.
And a lot of times Steve was like, there would just be prescribed OxyContin and say, here, take this. No ramifications. No, like what's the implications of this? Here, take this. It'll make you feel better. Type of thing. Well, that doesn't work anymore. It shouldn't work like that.
That's where I pause and say that the NHL hasn't done enough, because they will not. Their substance abuse crime is a joke. Like most of the professional, it's a joke.
It's probably worse now. I think probably back. Depending.
I think
on the
it.
Other
I
leagues,
absolutely. But. I've read a couple articles of opinion pieces where people are saying that the drug culture in sports now is way worse. It was popping off in the 80s, like how bad it was. I mean, we had a couple of Russian players die of heart attacks during games because of their cocaine abuse.
Yeah.
Back then, they're saying it's worse now because half of it's prescribed by a doctor.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We're not even talking about the illegal stuff. We're talking about OxyContin. We're talking about, the opiates.
Yeah.
Basically the legal heroin.
Yeah.
That people just throw in scripts. Matt was reading something where Bogard was getting, like, he'd go to one doctor, get some pills, and then go to another doctor who had no history of how many he had received or were in his possession. And so he would go to like eight doctors and get a whole bunch of pills.
Meanwhile, mixed in along the way, he would visit a bar. And what would happen when he would visit a bar? Hey, look, it's Derek Bogard. Drinks are on me.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he would mix that into his system in addition to his OxyContin. So it was a recipe for disaster.
Absolutely.
And my point was, the shame of it was he was put in that position by youth coaches.
Yes.
Yes.
Who saw the potential for him to just be a bully and throw him out there for that reason alone and promote him through the ranks without any regard to having any hockey skill.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
It's almost like, guess what, kid? You're going to go to the National Hockey League. Here's your ticket. You're going to just beat people up for the rest of your adult life.
You're going to die, real young, too.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to work on your passing. We're not going to work on your skating. We're not going to work on your shooting, scoring goals. None of that. You're 6'4", 235. Okay, well, you can throw it out, right? I guess. Well, yeah, that's what you're going to do. Because you're 6'4", 235.
Right.
I mean, what is that? Right. I mean, Lindros back, we could go even to Eric Lindros. Eric Lindros was bigger than Bogard. And it was literally Lindros.
No. Bogard was like 6'7".
Oh, 6'7". Okay.
Yeah, he was huge. He was a monster. Well,
Lindros was kind of the reason for that resurgence of finding people that could beat him up because he was bigger than everybody else.
Like, he was.
We need to. That was kind of where all the big guys came from. Oh, you're 6'5". Let's go. We need someone that could take a hit
handle
from this guy because he's running everybody over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a tragic story and everything. And Simon's too. Simon was like, yep. I was looking up on pre-production. John, he scored 29 goals. Yeah,
he could play a little bit.
That's the thing with Simon.
I wanted to let that go before we got done with this. Is Chris Simon was not a slouch. He's not what we're talking about with the other guy. Like,
no,
he made it to the league because he was fundamentally sound.
Yeah.
The dude could play the game. He just happened to be a badass at the exact same time. So
yeah.
Yeah. He did some things that got him suspended for quite some time. So while he had the skill, he had that unfortunate blend of skill and temper, shall we say.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, the culture of the enforcer let him get away with it. And
it was a badge of honor back then. That's the crazy part. It was.
Yeah.
But just before, you know, we talked about all the negatives. Any positive memories you have of Chris Simon before we
I would say probably the way he played in the Stanley Cup final. I mean, he was like tremendous against Detroit. I mean, you know, obviously he's going up against one of the greatest teams of all time.
Yeah.
But I think that his career year where he scored 29 goals and everybody was surprised, but it was like, I wasn't really all that surprised. Like, the kid could play. He was involved in a Peter Forsberg trade years ago. The kid could absolutely play. And it was great to see him contribute to the NHL in that regard when he almost scored 30 goals in one season. That's tremendous. He wasn't just a goon out there. The guy could play and throw down for the best of them.
John always has interesting stories. You got nothing on Chris Simon?
I'm trying to think if it was him. I think it was him, Colorado.
He played for the Colorado.
He was on. I think he was out there with Sakic for no reason. it was one of those line changes where he's like, he's still out there, and you're like, that's not Joe's line. What the hell's going on there?
He finds himself with one of the greatest players in NHL history.
Yeah, and I just remember, like, they're bogged down in the zone, and I think he's stuck in the zone, and then all of a sudden, he just takes this big frame. It's like, excuse me, takes the puck, bounces it off the board, gets him out, and now he's gone. And it's like, I remember him playing that way. Like, he was very aggressive on the puck. Like, you weren't running in the corner with him. He was going to give it up. Like,
Yeah, I remember him. The Capitals is the team I remember him with.
Yeah.
Same as Matt. And he did well that Stanley Cup run for that.
Boy, did he look good in that blue. I mean, that blue Capitals uniform back then was just
Yeah, with the Screaming Eagle.
Oh. Yeah. Yep.
Not the one with that shitty Capitol building on it. Yeah.
No, like when they had the Eagle with the Capitals written across. Yeah, that was one of the best third logos I've ever seen. So.
I like that jersey.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
So, John, according to Facebook, 300 Spartans held the first day of the Battle of Thermopylae against Xerxes and his advancing Persian army.
Thank God I had them in 300-1 in Vegas. Drinks on me, boys.
There you go.
I don't know how I knew they were going to win.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
being a time traveler.
if you enjoy that kind of sick humor, you're a sick individual yourself, which means you should go to our website, twonoobstalking.wordpress.com. Hey, I figured out how to add a subscription box on the homepage. So on the homepage,
bam,
you enter your email address. You will be notified every time a new episode drops on the website.
And look at that.
They do drop every week on the website. You can watch them all the way back to episode 140. And if you want to see something before that, like these two boobs here, and me sometimes.
What the hell?
It'll take
no
you
respect.
To our YouTube channel.
No,
yeah, right. No respect for my elders. No respect for my elders. They'll take
you all
the way back to our...
I'll just interject myself in here. You know, got...
YouTube channel is available there. Also, there's plenty of audio links if you want to catch us on your favorite podcasting network. You can get us there. If you don't see the one you like, take our RSS feed, plug it in, You can use put into your podcatcher and listen to whatever one you want. So like I said, while you're there on the homepage, subscribe. I want to see emails going out. I want to flood John's inbox.
Nice.
There you go.
With stuff.
There you
we
go.
We want to hear from you. You know, send some comments on YouTube or wherever you listen. We want to hear about the show. What do you think? What do you not think? Did you get those riddles last week that these two guys couldn't land?
Yeah.
And leave us a 5-star review because 4 stars isn't going to cut it, people.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
I didn't get up this early for that.
It's 4:57 in the afternoon, John.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Topic 3, boys. Phillies season is upon us. And though it was a crushing blow last year, losing, being up 3-2 in the NLCS to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Back again.
And it starts this coming Thursday.
Yeah,
we started on Thursday with Friday off for some stupid.
Well, tomorrow, actually, when you get this podcast. So it'll start tomorrow.
Yes.
Well, Thursday, tomorrow, same thing.
Whatever.
And Zach Wheeler will be making the opening day start for the first time, believe, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's been Aaron Nola. So Zach Wheeler will be your starter against the Atlanta Braves facing Spencer Strider, who last we saw was having a 100-mile-an-hour fastball get smacked out of the ballpark by one.
Doing a lot of this. You know,
Still out there.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, let's start here, gentlemen. The offseason was, I would say, rather quiet.
Agreed.
For the Phillies.
Yeah.
Not much to do. They re-signed Aaron Nola, who was a pending free agent.
Yep.
They extended Zach Wheeler. I can't really think of any other free agents.
Other than a couple of minor league trades here and there. Whit Merrifield was signed.
Yeah.
It was a good signing.
Right. We'll get to that. So for all intents and purposes, they're running the same team back from last season. I'll go to Matt first because he's wearing a Philly shirt.
Let's do it.
You okay with the run back, or would you have preferred to see them do something a little splashier?
So they were in the running for Yamamoto, the Japanese sensation who proceeded to give up 5 runs in one inning in the Seoul series. So that was a dodged bullet, I would say.
He of an 8 ERA in spring training as well.
Yeah, exactly. A 45 ERA to start off his illustrious MLB career.
Welcome to the big leagues, kid.
Love it. So that was a dodge bullet there, gentlemen. But other than that, I think it was a quiet season overall. I don't think there were offseason overall, I think, in the MLB. There wasn't that many huge signings other than Juan Soto got traded to the Yankees, but who cares about the Yankees? But with the Phillies, I don't foresee a problem with us running it back with the same group. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. What happened in the NLCS was they rested on their laurels, which they had a tendency to do during the season.
That was their makeup.
They coasted thinking that they were going to go in and face the Rangers or the Astros or whoever in the World Series. And they took the foot off the gas when they were up 2-0. They should have put the hammer down. They didn't put the hammer down, and it cost them. And lesson learned at this point. And so I have no problem with this same group of guys running it back. Now, that being said, I want them to win the division. I'm tired of doing the wild cards. I'm tired of it. I want to see them win the NL East, get a bye, get themselves set up, show the Braves how it's actually done. Once you win a division, you then win the championship. Instead of having to go through multiple rounds in order to get there, let's get the bye. Let's get in there. You know, let's show why we're one of the top two teams in the National League and then cruise on in to the World Series. And this time, win it. Get Middleton his damn trophy back. You know, that kind of a deal.
I'll say.
So we don't have to hear about it anymore.
Right. John, you okay with the run back?
Yeah. Yeah, they made their big move last year with the Trey Turner thing. I think just Trey Turner being here for the full cycle, and this is, you know, this is his second spring training. This is his second started this season. This is more comfortable. Probably got comfortable in the house. Probably got the kids all situated. They know, because that's, I mean, especially with a big move like that and all that that comes with that big free agent signing. I think he's going to be a big factor in a good start to the season. So why not run it back? Because they had the team. They really did. It's a closing window, but the window's not closed yet.
No.
Well, they were a 90-win team last year with Harper missing the first 2 months of the season.
Yes.
Trey Turner not doing a damn thing until, what, July?
August time frame.
And look at the season he had.
Yeah.
Imagine if he starts out. Normally, he starts out pretty strong, lulls for like a month, and then takes off again. This was he started off hot in spring training and then went...
I think the World Baseball Classic last year messed him up.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Because it took him out of spring training. He was immediately thrown in there, was hot there, and came back and was cold.
And then
he
came back to us and was like,
that time, yeah.
And he was. And that, I think, raised an expectation in the city going like, whoa, we got this amazing shortstop. And then he scuffled for 3 months and it was like, what the heck's going on here? And, just a matter of time. Yep. Just a matter of time before we got
together. Let me ask you guys about the one, I guess, position battle that's outstanding, at least as of this point. That being, I guess, in the outfield. I don't know how it's going to shake out. But the player in question, of course, I am talking about Johan Rojas.
Yes.
Elite defensive fielder.
Big time.
There's a not a question. Yep.
But he was AWOL.
Absolutely.
AWOL in the playoffs at the plate.
Swinging at nets.
Which you might as well have had the pitcher batting at that point.
It might have been more productive.
Yeah, exactly. So he goes out this offseason, puts on 10 pounds of muscle or so. Last I checked, his spring training was not going well hitting wise. He was below 200 and at one point was at like 111 batting average.
Yeah.
So he could be sent down to AAA. The other candidates to play in his stead would be Christian Pache and probably Jake Cave.
I'm assuming Schwarber's going to be DHing then.
Yeah. You can't buy it. Schwarber
at the end of the field. Where's he going to play?
No, that's the whole reason Harper's playing first base. Come on. Pache and Cave are out of send downs, so you'd have to waive them to send them down. Rojas still has them. I personally think it would benefit Rojas to go down to AAA and get some regular at-bats and try and work on this hitting. What do you guys think? Is he important enough of a defensive player that we need to keep him up?
No.
Throw one of these other guys out, or are we okay starting him down low?
Starting the season, I want him to be ready for the big time. And just throwing him out there, just swinging at gnats all in the beginning of the year is probably not productive. Let's get him down to AAA where he can, knock a couple. And that's a good ballpark to learn in. That's the one thing I love about the Phillies with their AAA ballpark. It is very similar to their pro ballpark. So if you hit it down the line, if you get that like stroke to hit it down the line, very similar when you get up to the majors. It's the same kind of trajectory where the ball's going. It's not like you don't go down to a tomato can and like hit 90 home runs and then come up and then it's like, why is that wall there? Like it's like other teams. But sending them down, having Cave kind of switch off with Marshy, left center, have Pache come in left center, because you have a bunch of left center guys that you can just mix and match there, which I think would be good for the start of the season.
Pache is not dirt in the outfield. He's a pretty good defensive outfielder as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Very capable. Yeah. Yeah. Very capable.
So Matt, you sending Rojas down or what?
Yeah, I would send him down. The OPS on base plus slugging for those of you out there that don't know what that is. That he was at 430 or 440 something, which is pretty pathetic. most major leaguers are right around 700-800% or 800 points or whatever. The elites are over 1,000. So to kind of give you an idea, Rojas is kind of, you know, he's like way down.
Yeah.
He, you know, I applaud him the idea of putting on the muscle, you know, and he was taking the extra reps during winter ball. Hasn't panned out. Just has not panned out. So, I mean, as much as I love his defense, and especially when compared to Odufes Herrera, oh my gosh.
That's like comparing.
I know.
That's a low bar.
Yeah, it's a low bar.
This pen to this charger. Like, completely different. Man, that charger's a terrible pen.
I just want to point out, Matt's the one who brought up the name. So it's not we're forcing this on him. You voluntarily raised the Odufes name.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
I've deemed him Odufes Herrera for a number of years. And a lot of people were like, oh, you're crazy. And I'm like, okay, whatever. But anyway, but yeah, right. I would want to see him succeed in AAA, much like John. Would want him to see him succeed in AAA, then come up, you know, when he's consistent, when he gets more consistent at bats. Gets on base. I wouldn't want to see him run the bases, steal. You know, if you get him at the bottom of the order running, and then you turn that lineup over, you have Trey Turner coming up.
Get an extra leadoff hitter.
Look out. You got speed on base.
Can you imagine Trey Turner as a leadoff guy coming up in the third inning playing station to station? You know how much fun that's going to be to then have Harper come up? Oh, we could get Rojas to third because, you know, Trey's just going to poke it right down the line and then. Oh, we got three on. Oh, it's 3-0?
Pretty easy.
So we're looking
Let me ask you guys this question. Castellanos, you're hoping, obviously, for him to repeat last year as opposed to this.
Yeah.
As opposed to your prior.
Just be you.
Just be you, right? I mean, that's pretty much.
He's the everyday fielder. He's earned it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, if he dips again, what do you think?
I don't think that's possible.
Okay.
I think you gotta let him ride it out.
Yeah.
I
mean,
He's shown that he can get out of a slump. So, you know, if he starts in one, he'll get out of one.
You just hope the timing works out that he's not in one come playoff time.
Yeah, exactly.
But he also shows you how good of a defender he is, even if he's slumping in the play. You don't lose his ability to play the game, that's why he's your everyday right fielder.
Yeah.
He's a quality player.
All right, let's go to starting rotation. Wheels, Nola, and Ranger, top three.
Love it.
Yeah.
I think we throw that against any top three.
100%
in the majors.
Has Suarez given up a hit this century yet?
I don't think so.
Ridiculous. Every his time they read his stat line, it's like.
His spring training was outstanding.
He just went 37 innings.
I love that kid. I love, of the three of them, funny if it is, I love Ranger. I love when Ranger comes in because it's like, okay, if Wheeler loses a tough one or Nola, you know you've got your third guy that can come in and he'll just shut you down. And he plays great defensive for a pitcher. It's like, bring it on at that point. The only one I'm concerned about is Taiwan. Like, he's had a horrible spring.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Penciled as your number four at the moment. And Christopher Sanchez, I don't think has had a terrific spring either as your five. I don't know that there's much help they can get in terms of four or five starters. Are you concerned? I would have loved to have seen them, you know, ink a Blake Snell or a Jordan Montgomery for a year or two this offseason, but it didn't pan out that way.
Yeah.
Snell are you concerned about the four or five?
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
Snell's with the Giants. And Montgomery is, I don't think he's signed yet still, but I've heard rumors that don't involve the Phillies. Are you concerned about the four or five?
No. Now Sanchez is a guy that throughout the season he'll give you those six innings when you need him. Walker was that with the Mets. Like, he is what he is. Like, he'll give you a couple good starts, but he's not a 20 game winner, he's not a 15 game winner.
Yeah.
If he wins you 7-10,
I was just going to say, even if it's a bonus, if he gets you to 12, that's a bonus.
Yeah, 12 would be my four starters, the man, and we're really humming.
Yeah.
So I'm only expecting 10, and if they can replace him at the trade deadline, they will replace in that slot.
Yeah.
He will become the fifth starter, and Sanchez will become long. I don't really have an issue with it because you're going to run you're going to run those three. Everybody's going to have the day off when he pitches anyway. So it's you're going to get a minor league team every fourth day in the beginning of the season anyway. So
yeah.
All right, wonderful Saturday games. Yep. Nobody's playing.
Let's go to the bullpen now. Addition by subtraction, Kimbrel is now the Baltimore Orioles problem.
Yeah, that helps. that helps.
Yeah,
that helps. We don't have a dedicated closer.
Maybe you could pencil in Soto, but
yeah. Do you have any concerns about the bullpen?
No,
I don't think so either. I think there's good depth in the bullpen. I think you've got some. Hoffman is really good. I think Strom is excellent as well. He's like a decent enough. That could get you some good innings. You know, would I like to see a closer here? Yeah, but I mean, they're few and far between, and they're almost like a gamble too. Yeah, because I remember when Josh Hader, you know, was like out there, and I'm thinking like, well, will the Phillies sign him? But at the same time, he kind of petered a little bit San Diego. Like he was kind of only brought in the ninth inning, and sometimes old Topper wants to bring you in on the eighth. And which,
by the way, I'm going to interject at the moment.
Yeah.
If you've got 3-4-5 coming up in the eighth and you have a lead, I have zero problem bringing in your best bullpen arm at that point.
Yeah. I totally agree.
It's called a baseball move. What you do.
You shut down the opponent's top batters.
That means children don't listen to ESPN. They don't know what they're talking about. It's like the video game. Oh, the closer's anticipated coming in to face the 7-8-9 when you have the meat of the lineup up and you're like, oh, let's just throw this Jack Watt in. He'll get us out of the eighth inning. Yeah. Game over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I have zero problem with that strategy. I mean, you have to, if you had somebody who was a closer, you'd have to have them put their ego aside that they're not going to get the S next to their name at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't see that.
But to me, it's more about pride. I went out and I took out their best hitters with the game on the line in the eighth inning.
There you go.
And 7-8-9. I mean, that was part of when we were doing the rule changes a few episodes ago, and I said I'd like to have you pick who you want in extra innings come up at the end of the game.
Can you imagine?
That's because there were too many games where the Phillies were down to their last three outs.
Yeah.
And it was the 6, 7, 8, 9 guys.
Yeah. And are you going to manufacture a run when you're down one? I don't know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I didn't mean to cut you off, Matt.
I mean, if it's a closer by committee, fine with that. Until someone takes the reins, fine with that. I think there's enough depth in the bullpen that can really kind of carry that through. And we got enough talent offensively that we can outscore other teams so long as the bats are working. I mean, that kind of a deal. So I'm not terribly worried. But if there's anything that I've known out of Dave Dombrowski, GM, it's like he is always looking. And he's always looking for that talented guy that can come in and he'll pluck him out of nowhere and say, this is our closer. And you're kind of scratching your head at the time when it's July. You're going, really? And it turns out August and September, he is closing. I have faith in this guy. So I have no problem with that.
All right. Yeah. John, how many wins and how far do they go?
I'm going to give them 95.
Okay.
95 with a potential for 97-98. I just think the Trey Turner factor. I joked on Facebook, as you guys know, the whole time when he was after the World Baseball Classic, you know, with Philly fans, like, oh no, like, what are we going to do when he starts hitting?
Right.
I'm a big fan of his. He will be that determining factor. Harper is Harper.
Yeah.
And we already know Peter Griffin there in the one slot. He's going to hit you 40 by accident. he's just going to.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm off the bat. Oh, boom. 450 feet. I'm sitting down if you need me, guys.
Yeah.
Don't dodge the second question, Mr. Tracy. How far are they going?
If they win the division, they will go to the World Series. If they go to the wild card, I think, again, like Matt said, like agreeing totally with Matt, if they that longer stretch, I don't think this team is built for that extra playoff game. I think they built this team specifically to win the division, rest up, hit a bunch of home runs into the World Series, hit a bunch of home runs out of the World Series. That's the way they're built. They're not built for, they're not the built wall. To play teams like the Arizona Diamondbacks that are hot. They're just not built that.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, same question. How many wins? How far do they go?
97. I have them winning the division. I have a high expectation for them to win the division.
Why not?
I see them going to the World Series. I hope they win it. That's the only thing I can say. I mean, the expectation is pretty high. They're a talented team up and down that roster. And, you know, I'm tired of the Braves getting out to these 10-game leads. And we have no shot. JT Realmuto said that on WIB the other day for the Atlantic or whatever. And he's like, I'm tired of it. It's like, we got to put the hammer down. It's like, you're damn right you do. You're talented enough to compete against that machine down there in Georgia. It's about time you basically put your thumb down and say, we're the Kings now. So 97, I have them for them.
All right.
Yep.
I'm going to go 93.
Okay.
I think they still have to get in through the wild card because I think Atlanta is just going to, they're built for the regular season.
Yeah.
But I think
they are. Yep. They really literally are.
But yep. I think they win the World Series. I think this is.
Oh, okay.
I think this is the year.
I think this is the year. I think they've been there 2 years ago. They learned a lesson, a valuable lesson last year, and I don't think they would let it happen again.
Yeah.
I think at the trade deadline, Dave Dombrowski will do something that will help them over the top. And it might be an under the radar thing, but you know, Joe Blanton was an under the radar thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You never know. You never
know.
Well,
he went 8-1 when he was here in 08 and got us into the championship.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nobody knew him at all.
John, I'm seeing here a report of volcanic eruptions in the Siberian Traps.
Oh,
I'm sorry. That was dated 250 million years ago. My apologies.
Damn the Biden administration.
He was around back then, too, by the way.
Yes. And still a citizen of this country.
This country.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. That was on last week, by the way.
Nice.
That's funny. Oh, my gosh.
They didn't figure we had a Navy. They just do not stop having the mafia up in Providence. What are you? All right. Topic four. Matt's got some sports trivia. I'm going to bed. All right.
Yeah, exactly. I know nothing.
All right. Let's see if he can stump us. Let's see.
See what we can be stumped here.
I hope it doesn't involve NCAA basketball, because even though it's March Madness, I know nothing about it. Okay.
Peter Forsberg.
Yeah, totally not.
Jaromir Jagr. No. I'm just getting out in front.
No, calm down. All right, so first question, guys. Since there's a Macho Man Randy Savage fan among the three of us.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's more than one. There's more than one.
This better be between 92 and 96, because otherwise I don't.
Well, we'll see.
Go ahead.
How many times has the Macho Man Randy Savage won the World Heavyweight Championship between WCW and WWE? Between the two promotions, how many times did he win the World Heavyweight
Championship?
I'm going to let John go first. Yeah.
I can only remember him once.
Really? Wow.
I think he won one in WCW, so.
He did.
Three times?
Okay, no, not three.
I'm gonna go five.
Six times.
Wow. This is the world heavyweight
title. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So the twice the WWE.
The eagle belt or the gold one. Yeah.
Exactly. The big gold belt or the regular WWE.
Twice in WWE. I only thought it was once. I missed the WWE.
Four times at WCW.
Holy
well, they passed that thing around like a hot potato.
Oh, yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah, totally ridiculous.
Wasn't David Arquette the world champion at one point?
I don't count WWE world titles unless Ric Flair had them.
There you go.
And was also the one that got sprayed on by the NWO?
Yep. Yeah, it's the same one. Yeah.
That's the belt actually they brought back just recently, but it has a WWE kind of tint to it. But it's supposed to be that belt.
All right.
Something like that. So this one is for my dad, guys, but also for you. In 1972, yes. The Phillies went 59-97.
Yeah.
How many wins did Steve Carlton have
27.
In that year? Bam.
I'll second that.
45% of the total number of Phillies wins Steve Carlton had that year, 27-10.
And douche story of him, he used to walk around and say it was win day because he's a douchebag.
So this one's a little hockey for you, gents. The Flyers have been very successful, obviously, in the history of the National Hockey League. Which team have the Flyers scored the most points in the standings all time? Among all the teams in the National Hockey League that they have faced, who is the opponent that they have scored the most points?
Wins and ties.
So standings points.
The Islanders.
Nope, not the Islanders.
They sucked for so long.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Should have worked out.
See, the funny part is, I think you got this from a recent broadcast because I seem to recall this might have been on.
So you would figure it have to probably be a 69 expansion team because they've been around since 69, so it has to be
67.
A 69 expansion team because that would be they would play them the most.
Correct.
Penguins.
Yes.
Nice.
373 points total.
Well, they went that whole stretch from like 1984 to
they pretty much
Philadelphia.
I mean, they couldn't win in the city of Philadelphia for like I think it was almost a dozen years, maybe even longer than that.
They should bring that back. They should bring that back. That would be
good. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind.
Who's the all-time leading?
Just to interject.
Jeez.
The Flyers played the Bruins today and won in regulation, which was, I think they had lost like seven straight. Huge 2 points.
Yep.
I learned today, speaking of records against teams, David Pastrnak has the most goals per game against the Flyers
of
any player in history who's played them at least 20 times.
That's ridiculous.
And they shut him down today, thank God.
That's awesome. Thank God. All right, guys, this is a little bit of a softball. Who's the Eagles' all-time leading rusher? Eagles.
LeSean McCoy.
LeSean, yeah. Do you know how many yards? If you had to guess?
No, absolutely no.
No?
Steve? 13,000-ish.
Have that. 6,792 yards total.
What?
Yeah, 6,792. He's only here for maybe about 6-7 years.
Did he have 13,000 career? Or why am
he might have 13,000 career.
Probably, yeah. I mean, because
the Eagles' all-time lead rusher when he played for the Eagles.
Yeah.
He had a damn good run with the Bills after us. So.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
he did.
Okay.
Hell of a player.
So, stolen base percentage for all you stat nerds out there. Who has the highest stolen base percentage in the history of the Phillies?
Jimmy?
Nope.
Is there some minimum attempts?
No minimum attempts. This was basically all by percentage.
It'd be like 11.
Kyle Schwarber is like
stolen. No, not Kyle Schwarber. Probably there is minimum attempts. I didn't
look at that. Three out of three. That's how many stolen base Schwarber has.
There's got to be a minimum because otherwise.
I didn't even look that far.
Dom Brown probably had one of one.
Yeah.
Nope. It's not remember, one of one.
For a week, he stole every base. But a week. It was a week only.
John was kind of close.
Yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't Jimmy.
Victorino?
Nope.
They're the two usual suspects.
Yeah, right. Well,
the other one was the second baseman.
Utley?
Yeah.
No Utley's way. Great.
That's
really?
88.75%. Yep. Looked it up on baseballreference.com. 88.75%.
Wow. That's
another
thing.
I'll throw up the stats here on screen to verify.
I don't remember him stealing that many bases.
That's probably why he's 82%. Yeah, right. He almost stole the bases.
That's probably why the minimum's not even there.
Jimmy's out there running all day.
Let's go with another wrestling question for you guys.
Okay.
This one might be closer to John. Three wrestlers in the history of the WWE, or F, whatever you want to call them, have won the Royal Rumble match in back-to-back years.
Cody Rhodes.
Yes.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes.
hell was the other one?
Retired in 2011, I think.
Did Edge win it twice?
Nope.
No. I don't think he only won.
Good buddy of Triple H.
Oh, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, Shawn.
Oh, I was going to say.
I forgot that about Shawn Michaels. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know he won one. That's
Shawn Michaels is the greatest professional wrestler of all time that you don't remember was the greatest professional wrestler of all time. It's still weird to say. Ric Flair says the greatest thing. He is literally the greatest performer that has ever existed. Nobody talks about. Like,
he could tell a story.
Yeah.
In that ring, for sure.
Since he was phenomenal from day one.
Yeah. All right, hockey. Outside of the Spectrum and the Wells Fargo Center, which arena have the Flyers had the most success in the standings all time?
Is there a minimum there?
There is no minimum. Because so out of all of the arenas that they've played in on the road.
The Igloo?
No, not the Igloo.
But the new one in Pittsburgh?
No, not the new one in Pittsburgh.
Huh.
Madison Square Garden.
I was just going to say Madison Square Garden. That was my next guess.
No, 148 points. Yep.
Wow.
And if you think about it, they're one of the original six teams that is still playing in the original barn. Because Toronto's moved, Boston's moved, Montreal moved. You know, all those guys, you know, took off and have their own buildings, new buildings. But yeah, Madison Square Garden.
Interesting.
I was shocked by that too. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, you're right though. The longevity of Madison Square Garden wouldn't make that. Yeah. It's not percentage, I guess. It's total points. And you'd have to be playing in a building for a very long time. So,
for a very long time, yeah. And they've gone there every year. So makes sense.
Very true.
All right.
I hate it.
Oh, I do too. It's terrible. It's a dump.
The lighting there is awful.
Yeah, it's not a fun venue at all.
Yeah. Even though they call themselves the world's most famous arena, it's like, really? Really? Okay. In Eagles history, how many players have had their number retired by that organization?
Seven?
Close. You're in the right
ballpark. They probably retired. If it's more, they probably retired someone I didn't know about.
Right. Right.
Nine.
Yes. Nine.
Ding, 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 ding. So is Donovan on that?
No, yes. Donovan is on
So
there.
It should be eight.
I'm not stopping. Yeah, he's the best quarterback they ever had. John, come on.
No,
Steve Van Buren was another. Brian Dawkins,
right? Mm-hmm.
Tom Brookshire. Tom Brookshire. Yep. Pete Retzlaff, who I think was a tight end. If I think back in the day,
I don't know, but I remember that one card.
Yeah, exactly. Chuck Mednarik, of course, Al Wister, Reggie, and Jerome Brown.
Jerome Brown,
okay.
Yeah. So those are the nine.
So 62 will be up there at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, better round that out. Yeah, better
round that out.
Probably 91.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say 62, though. I think 62 deserves to have that number retired.
I think those two would be the next logical.
I would think so.
BG probably make it up there, but he's got to stop playing.
And yeah, he'd probably be in the ring.
I don't think he wants to stop playing.
Sure. No. All right. This was astounding to me, gents. This Flyers player has the single season total for the best single season total for plus minus. It was plus 87. Do you know who this player was? Plus
Mark,
87.
Mark Recchi is, I'm going to say,
Howe.
Right?
Oh,
Mark Howe is correct.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, suck it, Johns.
Mark Howe. 1985-86. I looked it up. They won 53 games. They were outscoring everybody, and they got upset in the first round of the playoffs by the Rangers. It was terrible.
Duh.
It was like, are you kidding me? That was the year before 87 when they went to face Edmonton in the final. Plus 87? Are you kidding me?
Who was the goalie? Was that the year
that
Pelly
been
died?
Pelly. That probably would have been Pelly. But then Hextall probably came in during that year. And then, or no, maybe Hextall was 87.
No, I'm talking about, Hextall was a rookie in the 86-87. So who was the goalie in 85-86?
That would have been Pelly.
I think it would have been Pelly,
That would have been Pelly Limburg.
But did he die mid-season?
I think so. Or no, off-season.
Off-season? Off-season. He was the goalie that season.
It was during, I'm almost positive. I'll look it up on post. But I want to say that that Pelle died during the year, 86-87, and Hextall came in. I'll look it up, but I'm almost convinced came in 86-87. But yeah, I remember it was like during the year that Pelle crashed his Porsche and died.
Well, he died in 1985, so you're wrong.
Oh.
So he wasn't the goalie.
I guess that would have been Hextall then. I guess. No, it would have been. But Pete Peters, maybe? No.
Yeah, Pete Peters is the only one that I can think of between.
No.
There was one other, but I don't remember his name.
Yeah. We'll look it up. We'll look it up.
All right.
I guess this will be our last question, gentlemen. Jimmy Rollins, of course, Philly's all-time hit leader. 2,306 hits.
He did a lot of that, yeah.
He was amazing. Who did he surpass?
Schmidt.
Schmidt. And then who is behind Schmidt?
Oh. Greg Jeffries.
No. Yeah, exactly.
That was tongue-in-cheek. That wasn't meant to be serious.
This is one of my mom's favorite players growing up.
So they're old. Richie Ashburn.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, he was.
Richie.
Richie Ashburn, number one, part of the Wizards.
Anybody that saw him play, I think they all agree that he was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really great. Like, my dad can't even explain how great he was. He watches players now, and he's like, yeah, he's good. shit, sorry, Dad. I didn't see Richie Ashburn personally.
I didn't see him intentionally hit 14 foul balls in a row until he finally decided to hit get a ball.
That's kind of why I know Trey Turner's really good.
Yeah.
Because my dad's like, I like him. And I'm like, it's Richie Ashburn, in fact. Like, you saw Richie Ashburn play. And you're like him. He's got to be good.
He's got to be good now. Exactly.
He's on your radar.
All right. Well, appreciate that sports trivia. That wraps up episode 182 of Two Noobs Talking. John promised us some sort of March Madness tournament style topic for next week. So we look forward to seeing what that's all about.
Yes. You'll hate it.
Can't wait. Woohoo!
Can't wait to hate things.
Yes.
All right. But until then, have a great week and get out.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Two Noobs Talking. For more Two Noobs, be sure to check out our website, twonoobstalking.wordpress.com, and we'll see you next week.